This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Don and Peter on the Kalis Show today. Michael will join us as soon as the Yankee game is over. The Bombers are up 4-0 on Kansas City in this afternoon game at the bottom of the fourth. So when that's done, Michael will join us. And then when their post game is over, we'll be on Yes.
I just received interesting news, Don.
What's that?
I believe Michael is moonlighting and has a second job we didn't know about.
What's that?
I believe he's a bouncer at a New York City bar. I don't know which bar it is, but I saw a headline, and I don't. This may be fake. This may just be.
From Sports Pickle or The Onion?
No, it's from Twitter. It says Rihanna was refused entry into a bar because she forgot her ID. And that sounds like Michael. You're very attractive. I'm sure you're very famous. But Miss Rihanna, if that's your real name, you need to get your ID.
Well, Michael moonlighting with all the things he's got going on.
Well, he did say it was the summer of K and he wanted to be out and meeting people, you know, doing things.
You freak.
I had messed up my order. I want to thank Noel. It was the cross check and then the hit on Barzell that Kucherov ended up leaving the game. It was both early, but it was the cross check and then the hit on Barzell that did him in. All right, let's go to Alan Hahn. You hear him pretty much everywhere. You know, Bart and Hahn, you can hear him in the morning as well. Does a great job on MSG with the Knicks. And I met Alan way back in the day, Peter, when he was covering the Islanders for Newsday. And he was in the building last night, so we figured we'd get some perspective from him. He's Alan Hahn, joins us here on the Michael K. Show. It's Don and Peter, buddy. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Oh, my God. Listen to the voice, Peter. The voice.
Yeah, that's not because of the game. They had him work 4 different ESPN shifts today.
Actually, no.
It's from the game.
This is what it sounds like when you have to hold your breath for most of the game, and then all of a sudden 3 straight goals happens in a blink, and somehow, some way, this team stays alive. And, yeah, I had to also – this is what happens when you catch Damian Woody, who – fell as he was celebrating the overtime goal.
Is that true?
That is, yeah. You could check his Twitter. He has a picture of himself because he's holding his phone, videotaping himself, celebrating, and then wiping out.
That is fantastic.
It was just amazing. Really
yeah,
was.
And I don't know if you were listening to the opener of the show, Alan. Mm-hmm. You can make the case, and you've been around this team for a long time. You've seen some big goals, but I don't think you'd have to go back to the cup run the last time you saw a goal as big as Eberle's, because that building's quiet. You can't possibly think you're winning the game down 2-0. Not this Tampa team. Not Mm-mm. This team doesn't give up leads, and that's 12 straight goals you've given up.
Yeah,
I don't see you winning that game. If you go into the intermission, Alan, down 2-0, you lose.
That's all we were thinking. I was there with my son, Zach, and that's what we were talking about, because I had to wake up at 3 a.m. for the morning show. So I said to him, if this goes 3-0, we're out of here. Like, I don't want to be here for the funeral. You know, for the building. It would have been the last game in the building. Still could be, but still. And so that's what we said. He goes, if they get one, though, we stay. I was like, fine. You know, and then Jordan Eberle happened. Mm-hmm. And again, if you think about it, too, Vasilevskiy, he was unreal. And in the series, the Lightning had scored 12 straight goals. Let's go back to game 4, you know, where they had to hold on after taking the lead. They gave up 2 in the third, then they 8-0, right? And then they gave up 2. Am I doing the math right? Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
And so that's 12 straight goals that the Lightning had scored without the Islanders scoring a goal in the series. So it really felt like, all right, it's a wrap. But then that happened, and it gave you some hope. And they really were carrying the play. But, you know, it is an example, though, of what this team is like. And it's, for those who know the history of this franchise, and it's very similar to the Mets. Like, when the Mets are on a run where they do something, there's always special moments that feel extra special. You know, there's just some magic that happens, whether it's, you know, I mean, you can name all the different, you know, moments in history. And, of course, you know, one of my friends who's a Mets fan, Peter Boddy, who's not a Mets fan, but it's Peter Boddy, so I have to remember that. Famous sports writer in New York, of course. And he said to me that Ryan Pulock save from game four that basically saved the game, an amazing play. He said that's just like Chavez making the great catch against the Cardinals. It didn't end up winning. You didn't win a championship, right? It was a great play that never really ended in something amazing. And so that's kind of what it felt like until this happened. And that, yeah, I mean, you go back, even the run in 93 that they had, that group, Ray Ferraro and Pierre Turgeon and, you know, Derek King, they just had, you know, David Volek, obviously, you know, what an amazing goal that was. You want to go back to that one. But when you consider what this did, I'd probably say, yeah, it takes you back to 1984, the last time they reached the Stanley Cup Finals. That's the biggest goal since then.
That's a long time ago, because the 93 team, they were down 3-0 to Montreal, and they forced a game five. And even last year, down 3-1, they did force the game six. But this is evening a best-of-seven series, one win away from going to the final. And I'm telling you, it doesn't happen if that – it's a complete – I compared it to the Kovalev goal in 94, where the Messier game. Like, everybody talks about the Messier guarantee. If the Devils take a 2-0 lead into the second intermission, the game is over.
Yeah.
But then Kovalev scores, the Ranger fans in the building light up, and it's a completely different third period. That's how big the goal was.
Yeah, no, you're right. Exactly right. Because people forget. They think Messier did all the scoring in that. But no, it was Kovalev that gets you in the game, right? Gets you the momentum you need. And then, of course, he does the natural hat trick, including the empty netter, which seals it. But, I wish I could put it to words. I can't, because it did feel like this was it. Like, it felt like it was over. It really did. And you know, they just are that kind of team. And that's what I love about what Barry Trotz said. He just, he loves this team. He loves their resilience. And then he adds, and this building. And I can't, you know, look, we tend to wax poetic about our, you know, our sports cathedrals and the, you know, the old Yankee Stadium and how it rocked and the roar and, you know, even Shea Stadium, what it sounded like, the Garden and that, what that felt like. I mean, what the Knicks got to experience, you know, with their one win in 7th Avenue being flooded with fans if they won a championship. You know, we have all that stuff that we romanticize on. I could tell you guys this, and Donnie, I know you've been in that building. That building is a dump. They can make it look like a slinky. They could put all kinds of stuff on it. They could put new, nice, you know, nice pieces of furniture and, you know, put up wood facade and everything to make it look kind of cool and swanky. It's a dump. It still is a dump. The lines are too long for the bathrooms and everything else. And you can't wait for the UBS Arena to open because it's going to be amazing. But when it comes to that feel that is lost in sports, that doesn't exist anymore, that maybe the only thing left in it would maybe be Lambeau Field, and maybe even Wrigley, I guess. But this is as neighborhood team as you could ever have left in sports. And that's what makes it special. I walk in that building, every section there's somebody that you know. It's like it's your neighbors are all at the game together. It's as close to, you know, this is the Little League team that the whole town goes out and roots for. That's what's so cool about this. And they're good for a change, which is nice.
That's what I was saying yesterday, Alan. They're like a small market team.
Yes.
A half hour from the capital of the world.
It's true.
You know, it's pretty unique.
And they let but there really is this communal kind of feeling about this team that you're a fan and you've been through a lot of stuff. And the most important thing that I cannot understate, and I cannot overstate either, is that the owners there get it. I mean, John Ledecky sits in the crowd. I went to game four against Boston. I'm hearing my name yell. I turn around. Two rows up. That's John Ledecky. He's sitting with people. He's like, hey, Alan, thanks for coming. I'm looking at him like, why aren't you in the owner's box? Isn't that what owners are supposed to do? Stay away from the people. I don't want to get dirty. No. He's in the midst of it all, shaking hands, thanking people for coming to the game. That's lost in sports. That's what makes them. They get it. They understand. I get the best guy. I run this franchise. I'm getting the hell out of the way. And they're regular people. I'm telling you, it brought this team back to that feeling in the 80s. Where anybody that was around for it could tell you that was such a community feel. That was our team. And they've become that again. It's been a lot of fun. It's great to see.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Talking to Alan Hahn on the Islanders' victory in Game 6 last night. Of course, Game 7 right here on 98.7 ESPN New York tomorrow for a chance to go to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 84. All the things you're explaining, not to excuse the behavior, but all the things you were just talking about, do you think that led to the throwing stuff on the ice at the end of the game?
Yeah, if I could, can I explain this? Because I was seeing a lot of the criticism that people had immediately. Throwing beer at your own team. Ugh. I mean, guys, I was there. I literally was down, like, right there. Beer and water was just showering over me. I was soaked. Damian Woody was soaked. Ralph Macchio was soaked. We're all soaked. Loved every minute of it. And I'm right there to see the players on the ice through the glass. They loved it, too. They basked in it. Of course, you have to avoid a couple of bottles. It happens. Barry Trotz walking off with the assistant coaches. They both stopped, looked up. Then Barry Trotz turned, looked at one of his assistants, and they started laughing. Nobody was offended. Nobody felt threatened. This was a shower of celebration. People have to understand, this wasn't just about winning a game. This was about keeping a building open a little bit longer. A season alive a little bit longer. That's all it was. We were just dousing each other with water and beer and whatever we could because it was a mass celebration of, oh, my God, that just happened.
Yeah, there's sometimes the spirit in which it happens. And I do realize nobody wants to get hit by a beer can and all. But, yeah, there's something different about that.
It's like when you throw your books up in the air when you run out of the last day of school. It just felt like that. Nobody knew what to do. Just throw things in the air and let's all just get soaked. Yeah, like, you know, I mean, that's what happened.
Yeah, throwing the graduation cap up in the air. Yeah, there was something. There was some sort of a spirit to it that I thought.
There was nothing malicious about it. There was nothing angry about it. There was nothing. It was a good spirited just celebration, and everybody just wanted to be part of it in some way. And everyone walked out soaking wet and laughing and smiling.
All right, so we're not going to find out probably until warm-ups tomorrow if Kucherov can go, but that would be a devastating loss for this Tampa team. I know they're well-rounded. Point has scored in 9 straight games. Stamkos is a future Hall of Famer, but Kucherov, that would be a heck of a loss for the Lightning.
Yeah, it was a great addition. Remember, they went over the cap by adding him. He wasn't supposed to be back. You know, they bended some rules to get him back in the lineup, so they were just fine without him. Adding him, of course, made them tougher, made them deeper, but it's Braden Point. I mean, that streak's got to stop. This dude, I mean, he's unbelievable. He gets just the way he is right now around the net, that he can get on any loose puck and bury it, and he plays with so much confidence. But it's really Vasilevskiy to me. Vasilevskiy has been so good, and yet he started leaking in that game. He didn't look right, a little off balance. I'm watching him in Game 7 and make sure he's sharp, because if he's not, the Islanders got a lot of shots on him for the first time in this series, in the previous game, this, you know, Game 6. And, you know, let's see if he's a little off rhythm. That could be also something to keep an eye on. So this series, you know, it's an epic Game 7 as always. And I'll tell you what, the other thing I wonder is, does our friend Chris King have a voice left? You think I don't have a voice left? Did you hear his call on the goal?
Oh, we just heard it.
I couldn't hear him.
Well, I heard it until it got to the point where only dogs could hear it. Like, it almost became a dog whistle. And I say it affectionately. Because
well, we love him, yeah.
Peter, you may not know Chris. Chris, basically, he's been there forever,
yes.
All right? First of all, he looks like he's 27 years old. He's like 60-something, right? And
he literally
loves what he does. I guess he still does the Long Island Ducks in the summer.
He is Mr. Long Island. Yeah,
Mr. Long Island, and he was the analyst for so many different play-by-play guys, going back to Jim Cerny and John Whiteman. And then he finally gets the opportunity, I guess after Weidman left, to become, or maybe
Mears.
Yeah,
he became the lead guy, right.
And he became the lead guy. And, Peter, I don't, there's been a lot of guys. Like Michael Kay grew up a Yankee fan. You've got, you know, Sam Rosen grew up a Ranger fan. There is probably no combination of getting a chance to do the team that you love more than Chris King doing an Islander game.
And he would do it for free. Not that I'm going to be his age or anything like that, and I hope they don't say, hey, Chris, would you do it for free? I'm just saying, like, this is not for him, like, where it's about, like, making money and being famous. He would do it for free. He loves it, and you can hear the passion in his voice and whatever's left of his voice at this point, because he kind of lets it all out, doesn't he?
Yeah, it never became a business for him, Peter.
No.
And there's something refreshing about that.
I legitimately thought he was 25 years old.
No, listen, I'd be probably, he's late 50s, or I think he's older than me. I don't want to blow up the guy's spot, but
right.
I think
he is.
Whatever it is, it's just I look forward to those calls. We play them on the show and just revel in it, because you just hear how he hits the octaves that I don't think any man really ever hit before.
Well, you know, enjoy this, Alan, because, you know, there's so much that goes into, and I know you grew up a Knick fan, but now you got to work with the team and you got to try to, you know, you be professional about it and stuff. But I know how much this team means to you and how well you did on that beat for a long time. And to see them on the cusp of doing something special, we had to get Jan, and I know you were there. And please tell the family you said hello. We miss working with you because now you're too big to ever fill in for Kay or those summer opportunities.
Is this what we're going to do?
No, we're going to do
Johnny
backup
right now. Like, guys know this, right? I'm Johnny backup right now. That's really what I'm doing, okay?
You know what? You know what you are. You Lou Gehrig. That's everybody else is wild.
Every day.
Don't put that out there.
I'm just telling. Listen, I don't want to break any news here, but your big things are coming. And I don't know from nothing. I'm just saying, I know good when I hear it.
Well, here comes the jinx now. Can't wait for the press release.
It can't be jinxed. It can't be jinxed.
I can see, Andrew Marchand watch. I can see him writing the story now. Han was on his way to great things until that tragic accident.
Well, then.
Well, no. Don't worry about it. If it was something that happened on this show, no one will write about it. So you're safe.
That's right. Wow.
By the way, he graduated from.
He? Who he?
Sorry, Chris King. Thank you. Pronouns, pal.
Affectionately known as Kinger.
The Kinger graduated from a SUNY in 1983. So do some math on that.
Yeah.
1738 to 2260.
Yeah. God bless him.
But he looks great, sounds great, and Greg Picker does a great job as well. And again, right here, 98.7.
Love it.
ESPN New York coverage after the Michael Kay Show tomorrow. Alan, enjoy it, man.
Thanks, boys. Great to catch up with you.
That is the great, and I mean great, Alan Hahn, who's doing just a terrific job in the morning, terrific job on his own show, terrific job on MSG, and also on the Kay Show. Want to hear from you? 1-800-919-3776. Don and Peter, until the Yankee game is over, then it's Kay on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.